Hello, this is Wendy Bauer returning with the Decatur Herald and Review for July 13th, 2013. We continue now with the obituary notices. From Decatur, Roberta Gurley. Roberta Gurley, 82, of Decatur, passed away July 6th, 2015 in Decatur Memorial Hospital. Services to celebrate Roberta's life will be 11:30 a.m. Monday, July 13, 2015 at Moran and Goble Funeral Home. Visitation will be 10 a.m. Monday, July 13th at the funeral home. Burial will be in Camp Butler National Cemetery in Springfield, Illinois. Memorials are suggested to the Eastern Star. Family requests casual attire. Linda Harpool of Decatur. Linda Harpool, 71, of Centralia, passed away Thursday, July 9, 2015, at St. Mary's Hospital in Centralia. Services to celebrate Linda's life will be 4 p.m. Wednesday, July 15, 2015, at Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Visitation will be from 2 to 4 p.m. prior to the services at the funeral home. Memorials are suggested to the American Cancer Society. Lynette L. Ivy of Decatur. Lynette L. Ivy, 80, of Decatur, died Tuesday, July 7, 2015. Condolences and online obituary can be found at www.gracelandfairlawn.com. Burial will be at Graceland Cemetery, Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Gary E. Mowry of Decatur. Gary E. Mowry, 75, of Decatur, Illinois, passed away Friday, July 3, 2015, at Barnes Hospital, St. Louis, Missouri, from cancer. A private family service was held Tuesday, July 7th at North Fork Cemetery. James Howard Ringer, Jr., M.D., from Decatur. James Howard Ringer, Jr., M.D., was born February 8, 1938, and passed from this life and into the next on July 10, 2015, at St. Mary's Hospital. Memorial services will be held at Maranatha Assembly of God in Decatur, Illinois, on July 13, 2015, at 11 a.m. Graveside services to be held in Duggar, Indiana. In lieu of flowers or cards, you may make a memorial donation to Village Missions, P.O. Box 197, Dallas, Oregon, 97338-0197. Kenneth S. Roberson of Decatur. Kenneth S. Roberson, 68, of Decatur, Illinois, passed away at 10:35 a.m. on Friday, July 10, 2015, at McKinley Court in Decatur. Funeral services will be held at 11 a.m. on Tuesday, July 14, 2015, at the St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 1 Bacharach Court, Decatur, Illinois. Pastor Doug Bender will officiate. Burial will be in the Macon County Memorial Park in Decatur, Illinois. Visitation will be 1 hour prior to the funeral at the church. The Edwards Funeral Home is assisting with arrangements. Wanda Jane Thompson of Decatur. Wanda Jane Shepherd Thompson, 69, of Haines City, Florida, formerly of Decatur, Illinois, died from heart-related complications Sunday, November 23, 2014, at Winter Haven Hospital, Winter Haven, Florida. A memorial service to celebrate Wanda's life will be held at 2:30 p.m. on Friday, July 17, 2015, at Berea Christian Church. Burial will be in the Berea Cemetery following the services. Casual attire is requested. Dawson and Wyckoff North Chapel is assisting the family with arrangements. Memorial donations may be made to the American Heart Association, the American Diabetes Association, or the donor's choice. Beatrice Marie Kuhn of Decatur. Beatrice Marie Bea Kuhn of Decatur, Illinois, passed away peacefully on Wednesday, July 8th, at the Loretto home located within the hospital Sisters of St. Francis Convent in Springfield, Illinois. Mass of Christian burial will be 11 a.m. Monday, July 13th at Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church, 3850 Lourdes Drive, Decatur, Illinois, with visitation 1 hour preceding the Mass at the church. Private family burial will be held at Macon County Memorial Park, 500 West Main, Harristown, Illinois, following the Mass. In lieu of flowers, memorials in memory of B may be made to the Hospital Sisters of St. Francis, P.O. Box 19431, Springfield, Illinois, 62794. Robert Lee Falstrom, Decatur. Robert Lee Bob Falstrom, 88, of Decatur, Illinois, passed away at 3:54 p.m. Thursday, July 9th, 2015, at Decatur Memorial Hospital. A memorial service will be held at 10:30 a.m. Tuesday, July 14th, 2015, at Riverside Baptist Church, with visitation from 4 to 7 p.m. Monday, July 13th, at Brindlinger and Earl Funeral Homes. Interment will be at Greenwood Cemetery, Decatur, with military rites by the Macon County Honor Guard. Memorials may be made to Juve Jazz Society. And now more local news. An article titled, Summer Youth Program Opens in Former Nioga School. There's a photograph of children and an adult playing basketball with a caption, Children play basketball at the Hangout in the former Nioga Elementary School gym. This is from Nioga. Although the Nioga Elementary School building closed in May, this 55-year-old facility is continuing to serve youth in the community. Last week, the former school building became home to the first Christian church of Nioga's new summer youth program, The Hangout. The program is open to youths in 5th through 8th grades and will meet from 2 to 4 p.m. Monday to Thursday each week through July 30th. First Christian Youth Minister Matt Davis said he and retired Nioga teacher Joni McClure developed The Hangout as a way to provide activities for preteens and young teens who do not have the mobility of most high school students with cars. We just want kids to come have a place to hang out and be safe in the summer, McClure said. Each afternoon at The Hangout starts with a 15-minute Bible devotion. The youths then experience fellowship all afternoon while exercising during basketball and other sports, playing video games, making crafts, or taking part in other activities. When we get a basketball game going together, it's really fun, 12-year-old Kylie Phillips said Wednesday while taking a break from a game in the school building's gym. Naya Fuller, 11, said she has enjoyed playing basketball at the Hangout as well as making emoji pillows out of felt. Naya said she gave her emoji character heart-shaped eyes. Maddie McClure, 11, said she had been a student in the elementary school building and is now happy to return there as a Hangout participant, even though the building feels so small now that she has gotten older. She took part in activities on Wednesday alongside her brother, Pacey, 11. Both Kylie and Nia said they were shocked when the elementary school building closed, but are glad to see it being used for the summer youth program. I would say other youths should come here because it's fun and you can meet new people, Nia said. Kylie added, it's a lot better than sitting at home and watching TV. The Nioga School District closed the elementary school building due to its budget cuts and plans to move students from there to middle school across town. The district is leasing the elementary school building to Mel Workman, senior minister at First Christian. Davis said First Christian does not have a gym, so they appreciate having this recreational space available at the former school building. He said this building will also provide spacious new locations for the community clothesline, clothing ministry, and for the Neoga community's food pantry. This building has opened up a lot of opportunities for us, Davis said. In addition, Davis said he has relocated his youth minister office to the former school building and is preparing to hold the church's youth group meetings there when this program resumes on August 26th. Davis said, as the only full-time youth minister in Neoga, he plans to invite other local churches to take part in the youth group program. He added that Grace United Methodist Church has been sending youths to the hangout and other churches are welcome to participate. The youth minister added that First Christian and three other churches partnered on Father's Day for a community service project at Neoga's Park. We are really trying to be a community of believers, Davis said. More information about the hangout is available via www.fccneoga.org or at 217-895-3930. And an article from Decatur written by Teresa Churchill, Herald and Review senior writer, entitled Cliff Retiring After 4+ Decades at Anna Waters Head Start. Begins with a photograph. Cosette Cliff Reed Wright assists new family service manager Brenda Ternius in getting oriented in the position that Cliff Reed previously held at Anna Waters Head Start before she retired recently. Her mother taught there, and she herself is a former student. But when Lori Cook went to enroll her son at Anna Waters Head Start, Cosette Cliff still sat down with her to explain the program. I liked that because I don't like it when people make assumptions, Cook said. Just because you know my mom, you don't necessarily know me or my child. Like Cook and 60% of the other women who bring their kids to Head Start, Cliff was a single mom who wanted something better for herself and her children. And as Head Start's longtime family community partnership manager, she was in a position to help them get it. I'm a people person, she said. They would confide in me, and I would do everything I could to get them food, clothing, housing, whatever they needed. Cliff, who became Cosette Cliff Reed 2 years ago when she married husband John Reed, retired this spring after a 47-year career with Decatur-Macon County Opportunities Corp., the last 41 as Family Community Partnership Manager for Anna Waters. But not before training her replacement, Brenda Ternius, who started work April 20th. She's a very knowledgeable, loving, and caring person, Ternius said. She had a great zeal for serving the parents, families, and children. I would say she left a legacy of love. Cliff Reed moved to Decatur with her family from Brownsville, Tennessee in 1966 when she was 16, and after graduating from Stephen Decatur High School 2 years later, took a job as a receptionist with DMCOC. The rest is history, and Cliff Reed took classes at Richland Community College, eventually earning a bachelor's degree in organizational leadership from Greenville College, while supervising 10 family service case advisors working with the families of an enrollment that grew to 378 children while she was on the job. I was encouraging the parents I worked with to continue their education, which includes, so I felt like I should be doing the same, she said. Today, Cliff Reed is 65 and spending more time with her own family, which includes 4 grown children and 6 grandchildren. Lori Cook, meanwhile, lives in Hammond, Indiana, is a quality assurance analyst for Blue Cross Blue Shield after earning an associate's degree in accounting at Richland, while her son, now 17, attended Head Start at age 4. He didn't know how to share, but Cosette never assumed he acted that way because I didn't care about him, Cook recalls. He did a lot of maturing and could kind of actually read some small words when he left. Naisha Joyner, 45, of Decatur, said she will never forget how Cliff Reed gave her son, now 21, another chance to stay at Anna Waters after he struck a younger child with a block. "He did okay after that," Joyner said. "She's an awesome person who understood where us single moms are coming from." Joyner herself is a Head Start success story, getting her associate's degree in social science at Richland while her three children were there, and eventually earning a master's degree in business administration from Ashford University in Clinton, Ohio. She now works as a Section 8 leasing specialist with the Decatur Housing Authority. "Cosette Cliff and Anna Waters were my stepping stones," Joyner said. "They were there for my kids, too." From Decatur, article entitled "Students Grow with Camp Counselor Experience." This from Valerie Wells, the Herald and Review, or a Herald and Review staff writer. "If it weren't for the size difference, one might think Cedric Cunningham is one of the kids at Camp Connections. They all wanted to race me," said Cunningham, newly graduated from Eisenhower High School and headed to Southeast Missouri State University in the fall to study sports management with a minor in business management. "I ran from here to that tree probably 15 times. He hopes to be a coach someday and realized in eighth grade that working with kids was going to be his life's passion. The children at camp flock around him, and he plays just as hard as they do, coming up laughing when he slipped on the grass during a game of kickball, and tireless when it comes to running errands for the counselor, teacher Michelle Hazelrig. I make him do everything," she joked. Surrounded by women and children, Cunningham can also pinch hit when the group goes to the Decatur Family YMCA for swimming, because he can accompany the boys into the locker room, where the female staff could not. But more importantly, Hazelrig said, he serves as an example and role model to the boys, who listen to him and look up to him. "Two of the boys were fighting," she said. He stopped them and said, "Why are you doing this? This is crazy." At the Decatur School's four summer camps, district teaching staff work alongside college students who are studying to be teachers, and high school students, some of whom are exploring teaching careers, others who plan careers connected to kids, and some who just like kids and wanted to be part of camp. Hannah Hillman's mother is educator Deanne Hillman, and Hannah wants to become a teacher too. "Basically, a lot of this is learning from our lead counselor," Hannah said. "In my opinion, my lead is awesome. I love her to death. She lets me lead a little bit, but she's still always there in control. Our college student is also awesome, so it's nice to have the three different levels. But we're all still equal, so that's really cool." She's learning from both of them, she said, and how to work with children. But it's fun, too, because that's the point of camp. "We always go back to our problem every day. Who is a hero? And how can I be a hero in our community?" she said. "My favorite part is seeing the growth in the kids, in their learning." Cheyenne Smith wants to be a neonatal doctor, but she loves being around kids. "I volunteered at the library for 3 years, and I heard about this, and I thought, I like kids, so why not go and be at summer camp," she said. Her favorite part of camp was making a connection with kids, she said. "It was good working with kids," said Malia Joyner, a student at MacArthur High School. "I was trying to figure out what I wanted to be when I grow up, and I know I want to work with kids, so this is kind of a way to explore that." She's thinking of becoming a social worker with a concentration on helping children, she said. Next article entitled Erickson, Museum Fans Aren't Waiting to Share Views. More than a month after Governor Bruce Rauner announced he was going to close the Illinois State Museum in Springfield, members of the public will be able to testify about the positives and negatives of shutting down the institution. As part of a process enacted by the legislature to rein in governors who might want to gain political leverage by threatening to close state facilities, a public hearing is set for 4 o'clock p.m. at the Capitol. But the public already has been chiming in on the subject. The General Assembly's Budget Office, known as the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability, has been accepting written comments on the closure. As of last week, more than 170 people from around the world had registered their opposition to Rauner's idea, which would save about $4.8 million. Its economic impact on the Springfield economy is estimated at $17 million. The museum drew nearly 200,000 visitors last year. If closed, 68 people will either be laid off or will have to find other jobs within state government. Also caught up in the closure are satellite facilities like Dixon Mounds in Lewiston, a Chicago art gallery and artisan shop, a Lockport gallery, and the Southern Illinois Art and Artisans Center at Whittington. So what do people think of Rauner's plan to close the museum? Not much. Here is a sampling of some of the written comments. Sherry Steiner of Milan writes, "We routinely stop at other state capitals and museums around the country, but have always felt the museum in Springfield provided the best representation of how we became who we are today. Perhaps adding a, quote, hall of shame to display our crooked politicians and charging an entry fee would generate the funds needed to keep this wonderful place open. I suggest you close the Capitol building instead. Nothing productive comes out of that place." Catherine Williams of Watseka wrote, "How can any person or persons be so irresponsible and short-sighted to not see the value of our museums, not only presently, but also for the future? It should not be an option for current office holders to even consider closing an institution that has benefited the state of Illinois for over 100 years. Nancy Pace of Benton wrote, "A world without art and culture is a dull, dead place." From Cheryl Murray of Macon, "I believe that if a person does not know their past, he, she cannot truly understand their present life." Monday's hearing in room 212 at the Capitol begins at 4 o'clock p.m. Bring a snack because at least 38 people are scheduled to testify. An article from Tony Reed, a Herald and Review staff writer, out of Long Creek, titled "Violent Storm Possible Tonight." A thunderstorm bearing more than 60-mile-per-hour wind gusts and heavy rain and lightning damaged buildings and trees in the Long Creek area Saturday night. Weather forecasters are now warning Central Illinois to be prepared for more violent storms today and especially this evening. Decatur is on the edge of the storm track that could see destructive wind gusts gusting to 75 miles per hour. Families in Long Creek, meanwhile, spent a large part of their Sunday picking up downed tree limbs and clearing away debris as chainsaws whined. Other residents tidied what they could while awaiting visits by insurance adjusters and professional assistants. Several had damaged roofs and siding punctured and dented by flying tree limbs and building parts. Eyewitnesses said Saturday's storm appeared to reach its height between 10 and 10:30 p.m. Kyle Corman, whose Corman excavating business is based on a spacious farm along Ocean Trail Road, said the storm sounded like a train was going at my house. He was looking up at ripped tree branches, which were twisted and woven into the branches of another tree, and wondered if the area hadn't caught the edge of a tornado. A twister wasn't confirmed Sunday by the National Weather Service, but the meteorologists did say the nearby Decatur Airport confirmed more than 60-mile-per-hour wind gusts. Corman, 25, said one large storage shed had the roof of a lean-to addition ripped away and two sliding doors were blown in. Debris was heaved aloft and flung against the side of a large new building, measuring 80 feet by 200 feet, that houses equipment and his office. Some gutters on the new building got messed up where all the debris was flying around, but thank goodness, man, it spared that building, said Corman. That one cost me a pretty penny to put up. Houses along Ocean Trail, where one power line leaned at a drunken angle toward the road but hadn't toppled, appeared to have borne the brunt of the storm. It came through in a squall of heavy rain and near constant lightning, and scattered damage from downed trees and flying tree limbs was reported throughout the Long Creek area. Residents said the track of the storm was unusual, heading on a southwesterly path, whereas most storms usually travel northeast. My grandpa said he's never, ever in his lifetime seen a storm around here come out of that direction, Corman added. Just down the road on Ocean Trail, neighbors Stephen Carl and Ross Michener were assessing the damage from smashed tulip and maple trees in Carl's yard. Carl, 64, has lived there for 30 years and says storms have ripped the roof right off his trailer home 4 times in 25 years. On this occasion, however, his home had escaped unscathed, with only minor damage to his garage. Michener was also relieved the pile of broken tree limbs hadn't hit his house. "I got lucky, and I'm tickled. I'm happy, happy," he said. The severe storms heading the Decatur area's way today are likely to be packing more heavy rain along with damaging winds, and will add to a summer sinking its way into the record books. National Weather Service meteorologist Patrick Bach said rainfall totals for July are already way above average. Figures for the Springfield region show 3.35 inches of rain so far this month, almost 2 inches above the normal total at this point of 1.43. Bach said the wet conditions are feeding moisture into the atmosphere and creating a kind of feedback loop that helps generate more storms. "We're really not breaking this pattern, and we could very easily finish out the summer on the wet side," he added. Weather forecasters are warning the worst of today's storms, extending in the line from Effingham up past Decatur and Bloomington toward Chicago, could include large hail and spin-off tornadoes. The storm threat runs through mid-morning, but the most severe weather is expected in the evening. And finally, an article entitled "Law Enforcement Warns of Recent Phone Scams" out of Decatur. Law officials are warning Decatur residents of several telephone scams that have recently occurred in the area. The Macon County State's Attorney's Office and Macon County Sheriff's Office have warned residents of callers misrepresenting themselves as deputies from the sheriff's office. The calls, which are disguised to appear as coming from the sheriff's office on caller ID, have callers tell the victims they have missed jury duty and are in imminent danger of arrest unless they pay a substantial amount of money. The victims are directed to obtain a prepaid debit card and to provide the number over the phone as the only possible means of payment. Those who suspect a scam is about to be committed or has been committed are advised to hang up immediately and call the Elder Fraud Hotline at 217-615-7582. All calls are answered by State's Attorney Jay Scott or Sheriff Thomas Schneider. And this has been Wendy Bauer with the Decatur Herald and Review on July 13th, 2015. I look forward to reading with you again soon. Thank you.